When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are scrubbing in.
Scrub-a-dub-dub.
Yesterday was the Grammys. Our very own Tanya Rad
shined bright like a diamond.
Shined bright like the star that she is.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
Tanya Bell into Barbie. Tanya, what were you?
Barbie. Yeah. Disco Barbie? I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh, yeah.
The hair was very I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What was it like being there? Because, like, I obviously watched it and, okay, the hair, the things have taken a very different turn the day after.
It's so true because it's like you get ready for game day. So it's like I spend an entire week, you know, just like getting my head in the game in terms of just listening to only Grammy nominated artists and then doing my nails, and you get the spray tan and you go to rehearsal and you're doing your COVID testing, and it's all kind of just getting ready for Sunday. And then after Sunday, you just have this, like, I think I slept 3 hours last night, and not because I was, obviously there was no parties. I came home, I ate In-N-Out and showered and went to bed. But then I like woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning with like crazy cramps and I couldn't go back to sleep. So here we are looking like a
tired Tanya on the podcast today. We have Baby Yoda. The hair is ready to go.
You look a little bit like the clown from It.
Wow. Thank you so much.
I was thinking Mark with Dobby from the
House Elf.
From Harry Potter.
I'm very ambidextrous. I can go many ways.
Yeah. Lots of different character roles here.
Yeah. But I do have to say it was really fun. I've let my hair and makeup and stylist just kind of do their own thing. And because I want to just like look different and have fun. Like I'm in this kind of space where it's like we never get to get dressed up anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, let's go for it. So we put some bangs on me. Those are fake clip-ins. And I was so into it.
Did it make you want bangs, real bangs?
No. I liked them during the day. Like I was like, this is cute for my like Tinkerbell look. And then I was like kind of over them by the nighttime. But then it was like too, you know what I mean? Like it was just too quick. I was having to like watch the, so I'm having to completely change my look in this trailer while I'm watching the Grammys on a monitor because we're doing the after party. So we're reacting to what just happened while people are doing your hair and makeup. So it's like, it's all kind of happening all at once. It's actually very interesting. So I find myself looking on Twitter to kind of like, I feel like I miss things. You know what I mean?
You should do a vlog on your next thing. You should do a, like a, or have someone like go with you and kind of film like behind the scenes, because it is interesting, especially when you go for, you do like a day to night thing.
Yeah, and because like our show, so we did, I did Live From Eat, ended right at 5 o'clock, which is when the Grammy started. So they literally walked me straight to my trailer, and I have to completely switch my look, which takes about an hour and a half. So that's like takes me right up to, I mean, the show starting, and then my, and then the after show starts at 8 o'clock. So it's like everything's happening all at once, and I'm having to pay attention, and they're emailing. So all the emails are going off. They're literally putting the show together as the Grammys are happening. So they're like emailing us like updated scripts and things like that. So it's all happening, and it's like, it's really intense. Like literally when you finish, you're, you feel like you just, I mean, I was never an athlete, but you feel, I feel like I just like played a football Super Bowl or something.
Probably exactly how Tom Brady felt. It's probably exactly the same.
Tom Brady adjacent.
Well, there was a lot of butterflies last night.
I know.
First of all, okay, well, we're gonna start with Dua. Dua's dress.
It was a butterfly.
It was a butterfly.
It was a butterfly. And she said butterflies are significant to me last year. And I was like,
you and Dua. Did that make you feel like so sisterhood or like, oh, is that a common thing?
Yeah, it's actually, no, it's so funny. A scrubber messaged me on Twitter or on something and was like, I wish that they'd pan to your face when Dua Lipa said that to Juliana, because it's so true. I was like this.
The signature Tanya face?
Totally. I was like, but what does it mean, Dua?
Her, she looked, she was one of my favorites last night. Like,
me too.
Definitely top. Three notch. For me, because like her out, everything about her last night was incredible. And then Harry Styles.
I know, but I've known about Harry's butterfly for a while because he's had that tattoo for a minute.
I know, but it was like prominent. Really on display last night.
It was on display. And then there was a country artist, what's her name, I'm blanking.
Was it Mickey?
Yeah,
Mickey Guyton.
Yeah, she had butterflies all over her dress too.
What?
Crazy, right?
So I where were they on her gown? I watched her. Were they like,
were those not butterflies?
I don't
on the
know.
On her carpet. She had carpet.
I didn't see the
look.
Carpet.
Okay. She had a carpet dress on.
Oh.
Not the one she performed in.
Okay. I saw her performance. Yeah, I was like, I don't recall that.
There was butterflies everywhere. My head was literally spinning. I was just like,
swivel.
Yeah. Like, what is happening? Why are there butterflies everywhere? I feel the significance. Help me, Lord Jesus.
But what does it mean? Isn't it supposed to mean like, were you supposed to meet the man of your dreams last night? Like, what is the meaning of these butterflies?
We all met the man of our dreams last night, and he is Harry Styles.
That's basically what it pointed me to. Okay. That's where they led me to. They were butterflies all day, and then boom, on Harry's chest.
Someone sent it to me, a DM, and they're like, oh my gosh, just, is this significant for Tanya? And I was like, it's, butterflies are significant for me now after seeing that Harry Styles tattoo. I get the significance. I just have a question, because you know, you had an experience with Harry where you hosted his, one of his live performance shows.
Yeah.
And like, he was giving you that like flirty smirk while he was performing. And like, there were moments where I was like, oh my, Tanya, look at how he's looking at you, whatever. I'm in a very, you know, healthy relationship. I'm very in love. But like, if I had that experience with Harry Styles, I don't know that it wouldn't enter my mind at least once a day.
Really?
I'm
See,
dead
it's so
serious.
Funny because I just did not feel flirty vibes from him at all.
I mean, all I know is what you posted, which is like him singing and like looking over and smiling. That's all I need. I'm not talking about anything deeper than that.
I know. That was a good moment. I will cherish. I do love him. I do. I don't know. It's like so weird. I think that, and also I think it's a little bit has to do with my naivete. Is that the right word?
Yeah, good job.
Like when people are flirting with me, I can't really... I can't tell.
Oh, that's been clear many, many times.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, they were, I didn't realize they were flirting with me. Oh, that would have been nice to know.
Well, I'm just super happy for Olivia Wilde and
me too.
Congrats to her and
to Harry for winning his first Grammy. I mean, it was just.
Yeah. It's like, obviously he's physically very beautiful, but there's something about him where he just seems like. He's kind and
he's
kind. Talented. It goes beyond his looks because there's a lot of good looking people.
It's
different.
True. It's true. But yeah, it definitely felt yesterday like buzz in the air. I was happy. I was like, I felt like on cloud nine, honestly.
What do you think about Taylor's performance?
Are you kidding me? It was so good.
It was so good.
I mean, and like, Who? How are we worthy to get a live performance of August like that?
How are? It was a full mashup. We got Willow. We got August. We got Cardigan.
That was it, I think.
Yeah.
We got those, and I just everything she does is just takes you to another place. It's just the coolest thing to me.
Yeah.
I sent Taylor Banks a text last night and I said, I feel honored that I'm in the same generation as Taylor Swift. Like that one day when I have kids, I'll be like, listen to these albums.
Yeah. I wish there was like a monitor on my face when I saw Beyonce in the audience, because I literally almost like, like poor Liz is doing my makeup and I freaking like went like, I'm surprised I didn't get my eye poked out, because I was like, she is feet away from me. The queen is like feet away from me here. So then I went on this mission of like, where are these tables set up? Because it was all like within a really small radius of where I was. So then I was like, where is she? How do I get around that parameter to just bump into her somehow?
That was me with Jennifer Aniston and the People's Choice.
But like, let me tell you, there was no getting anywhere near wherever she was.
I mean, Beyonce's just, she's one of those people too, where you just are like that. The presence is palpable.
Palpable.
Yeah, her presence in a room. And Megan Thee Stallion won, just like you were hoping for.
Yeah,
she crushed.
I feel good about that win.
And how about Billie Eilish's win, where all she did was thank Megan Thee Stallion? I thought that was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
It was funny though, because it ended with like so much excitement. And she's like, yeah, well, I think Megan Thee Stallion should have won this, basically. It's like, thanks for watching.
I was the psycho. So the Grammys were running a little bit over time. And so we were all like ready and mic'd and like ready for our show to start. And I think the Grammys was running about half an hour behind. So we were like, let's just like all kind of hang and watch together. So like all the people who like the camera crew, like all of us were just watching. And they were doing Album of the Year and they announced Taylor Swift. And I literally got up and was like screaming and like running around the set. Like my headphones like unplugged from my thing, my mic pack. And I was like flying around the thing. And everybody was just like, are you okay? And I was like, I knew she was going.
Your bangs just like, are just like flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Like Nick Frattiani winning American Idol. It's the same energy.
Oh my God.
It was totally like Nick Frattiani winning American Idol. And like, they were like, are you okay? Are you going to sit back down now? I was like, yeah.
They're like, Tanya, plug your mic back.
Ryan mentioned this also on the radio today and last week, that there's no on-air Tanya versus off-air Tanya versus TV Tanya versus radio Tanya versus podcast Tanya. It's all just Tanya. And that's the best thing. Even if that was a room full of strangers, you would have reacted the exact same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That I forgot about that Nick Frattiani video. That is a pretty epic.
That is a pretty epic one.
That noise is
the stomping of the feet.
Yeah.
The stomping.
There's a lot happening in that. Well, we also were not just skipping over the fact that there was a massive Grey's Anatomy episode, but we do have a very special guest that we're getting to.
A very special guest. And it is not DeLuca.
No, it's not DeLuca, but
he is dead. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Oh my God. Oh. Wow.
Oh,
that's 3 hours of sleep.
But that's
for Tanya.
What I was thinking. Watching that episode, I thought, "Dad's here."
Dad's here.
Dad's here. Now he's all gone.
R.I.P. Man.
R.I.P. Dad's here.
Well, we have Anthony Hill, who we just love. He was on our Galentine's Day show, and he's joining us. We booked him before we knew what was happening this last week, so it really just worked out that it was an insane episode, and we get to talk to a Grey's Anatomy cast member today, and he's the best. So we will be discussing that in depth in a few moments. So didn't want you to think that we're just glazing over a tragedy.
Yeah, and you know what else we shall not glaze over is there was a photo shoot that was supposed to happen today.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be postponed. TBD.
So Tanya today writes me and she goes, what was your opening line? Bad news.
I have some bad news.
I have some bad news. And I was
geez.
I go, what? And she goes, our photo shoot today. I totally forgot. I had no idea. I go, yeah, what about it? Like casual.
Hey.
And she's like, I started my period. I think the direct quote was, I'm Niagara Falls on my period. And I was like, oh, dang. Well, we can postpone if you would feel better doing it another day. And she's like, well, I'm going to take a nap. And then that could really change things and help me to feel better. And I was like, all right, you just let me know. I'm ready to go.
I just feel the opposite of sexy right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't even think, like, I couldn't even fake it right now.
Easton and I do not know what you mean. We have never felt the opposite of sexy.
I always feel sexy.
Yeah. You do?
We do.
I'm not going to lie. I do too. But like, today's just not it for me. Like, it's just not it.
Y'all just, what does that feel sexy? Like, you always feel sexy?
Easton and I do,
yeah.
Yeah, sexy, flirty, and thriving.
How are you feeling, sexy? Yeah, you know.
Yeah, we check in periodically just to make sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Question. So is this going to be a soon situation or is this postponed indefinitely?
No, not indefinitely because I really want to do it. It's just like I don't want to do it when I'm like on my period, you know?
I have a question about where the pictures are going to end up. Because
they're
going to
end up on my phone.
On your phone? Just
that seems dangerous.
Why? Or on her Dropbox file for the iHeart team to see if that's happened before.
Yep. Accidentally going to a computer to some network, losing your phone gets stolen. I don't know.
They're going to be tasteful. It's not going to be like full nudes.
Yeah.
Well, may I ask if you can swing the other direction? I recently watched a Sex and the City episode where Samantha has boudoir photos taken and she frames them and puts them on her wall. And then the delivery guy comes by and she's like, what do you think of my ass? And he's like, it's a great ass. And it's a very empowering moment for her. I just wanted to float that idea.
I don't know if I want to blow them up and put them in my home or if I want to post them in any capacity. But yeah, it's definitely going to be postponed. It's not happening today.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I Becca. Was literally counting down. I was like, oh my gosh, Tanya has the Grammys today and then tomorrow we get to do her shoot. I'm like so bummed.
That's why I planned it for this day because I knew I was going to be like, you know, on my game. I was eating clean, looking looking lean and spray
clean,
tanned.
Clean and mean.
Eating clean, looking lean and spray tan.
Yeah. Well, we can always do like a little edit to make you look tanner, so don't worry about that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. We'll reschedule.
Let me tell you something. A spray tan can do things to me that nothing else can.
It's true.
Like
I just did a self tanner over the weekend just to make myself feel better and it instantly boosted my mood.
Yeah, I like to I've said this before on the podcast. I like to look at myself in the mirror naked and just say positive things about my body, but when I have a spray tan on,
it's just easy peasy.
Yeah, like, I'm like, girl, you look good over there.
She's like, normally when I say it, I don't believe it, but I still say it. But when I'm tan, ooh, I believe it.
Ooh, I'm like, girl, looking snatched.
It does. It's weird. It's like I can't tell if it's a mental thing or if it's a real difference. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Like if it's mentally, like I know I look better tan. I don't know.
It's like I love my own
like
skin,
a glow
but there's
that
yeah
represents.
Or like I don't know if it makes me feel like I'm on vacation or something.
Yeah,
do you know
what
I mean?
What
like where
saying.
I'm like yeah, like I don't know. It does something mentally.
There just used to be that like you go on summer break vacation and you come back so tan and something about that just represented like freedom and youth. And so I think I attach when I have a tan, I just feel youthful and free.
Youthful and free.
Yeah.
I got my first spray tan when I went on my honeymoon to Hawaii and I felt great. It was awesome.
Right? Yeah. Didn't you just, it just, oh man, it just does things. Rar.
Oh, mm-hmm. She growled. She growled at her. She looked at the mirror and then growled at herself. So
that's where I'm at, guys.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Anthony and with Tanya in this state. It's always exciting.
It's
you never
state.
Know what's going to come out.
It really is a state. It's like it's a state.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break and then we will be back with Anthony Hill to talk about all things Grey's Anatomy. And I cannot wait to talk to him.
Same.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Let me tell you about this social battery over here.
Yours?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It is drained.
Why?
Because I'm not giving myself enough Tanya time.
Oh, I know how important Tanya time is.
I'm not giving it to myself because I've been working a lot and I think I've just been overly social that I'm not factoring in the time I need just for myself.
Well, I also think it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially you, and especially with social gatherings picking up after winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time.
Well, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I do think one of the things that has helped me with like setting boundaries of where I'm spending my energy has been therapy, and knowing how to, first of all, set the boundaries, and also knowing how to pay attention that when I'm feeling drained and I don't have capacity, that I can tap into a place where I have more to give.
And it's also built in you time.
Yes,
which
exactly.
Is very, very necessary. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/scrubbing today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/scrubbing.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, everyone. Today is a really big day because we have Anthony Hill joining us again on the podcast. Welcome back to the OR.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for having me back.
I don't even know where to begin because
I know, because also like when we teased him, we were like, oh my gosh, yay. Like we love Anthony. Woo. But when we got that episode, it was just like, what the freak?
We felt betrayed by everyone involved on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. So basically you are on our naughty list.
Okay. But to be fair, you asked, if I remember right, you asked what I could tease. And I said, there's going to be a major shakeup.
Oh, you know what, Anthony? You did say that, but shakeup in my mind should not equal death.
Well, Anthony is a man of his word, so we can check that box off the list.
You are a man of your word because we said, "Can you please come back?" and you
came right
agreed
back
to come back. Which
wow! So he's trustworthy. He's a man of his word. He does what he says. Are those all the same thing?
They all can go under the same umbrella, yes.
It's a good thing to have in common, even if it's the same thing. So it's all good.
Okay, so
these are great qualities in you.
I'm watching the episode, and spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Grey's Anatomy and Station 19 from last week, I highly recommend doing so. Okay, I'm watching the episode. Maggie's not answering her phone. Y'all are just romping around in this hotel room. And I was going to DM you and be like, DeLuca is dying. Answer the phone.
I wish you would have.
Yes, that would be hilarious to me. But, you know, they didn't know. She needed some time. She never gets the time, you know?
You know, Maggie did. She deserved some good time in the hotel room with her man.
It was just terrible timing, that's all.
Yeah, it was just bad timing and no answering of the phone. Where do we begin about
I'm, like,
this?
Stressed. So are they just going to start? Are they going to be killing all of you off until, like, the show's over? Like, is that what's happening?
I feel like that's everybody's fear since, like, season one. Like, everybody does not want to be a casualty because they'll do it. They'll just start knocking them down, you know?
That was the most unexpected. Like, I guess I've never really expected any death in Grey's, but this one was like out of left field.
Out of the blue, yes. Yeah.
So I know,
so
sir,
he's dead, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Did you go, like, did the cast know that was happening or did they keep that top secret? Like, how did that go down? Because I know there's been a few things where we've talked to some of the other cast members and they were like, yeah, none of us knew anything about that, which I don't know if they're lying to us, but did y'all know that this was happening?
Well, there's certain things that Crystal will keep from us all because I don't know, she just like kind of sick and she likes to see us all surprised, but there's certain big things that she kind of keeps low. But this one, she wanted to have kind of a proper send off from the cast, as well as, I guess, the audience. So before we did the table read for that week, I guess, can I talk about who? Can I say all that or no?
Go ahead. We gave a spoiler alert.
Yeah, we said spoiler alert.
Okay, cool. So she talked to Giacomo, like, before the season started. Her and Debbie Allen sat down with him and talked to him about the whole plan for his character. And none of us knew until the week we shot the episode. So we did the table read. It was like November-ish, I wanna say. And we got that news, maybe even December, but it was fairly recent.
So you knew on our Galentine's Day podcast that DeLuca was dying and you said nothing?
He said there's a shakeup.
That's the most I can say. What can I say? Think about that. What would you say?
That's shakeup was probably the best thing you could have said.
Shakeup is because, exactly what it was.
Because like there's always been people, I think, have always been able to find spoilers in different TV shows and storylines. And for this one was just so out of nowhere. And like he was doing something so necessary, you know, like which I know is kind of his whole chat the whole time with his sister. It was like, I have to do this. Like, I have to do this because it's what has to be done. But it was just so cruel how then they did the surgery and made us think that he was fine. And then blood starts coming out of the nose. And you're like, no.
I know. I think that was actually really well done because I was watching and I was like, did they maybe
change things?
Yeah, did they change it? I was hoping, but yeah, they executed that really well because it was like, a roller coaster.
So that debunks my theory, what you just told us about. I had a theory that Giacomo did something to piss somebody off, like some showrunner. And they were just like, you want more vacation time? Now you got a lot, dude. Or like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I thought he did something to like make somebody mad. Because it's so out of the blue.
Yeah, it is out of the blue. And Giacomo's like the greatest dude in the world.
I know. I was shocked. I was like, what could he have done?
Yeah. He
did nothing. It was just for storyline purposes. And it's because he built a character that everybody loves so much.
So much.
Had such a nice arc and was growing and had so many, breakthroughs recently with his mental health. And then with this this new storyline on sex trafficking, it's been really interesting to watch him. So to see him go would be that much more difficult. So
I'm going to need you, if Krista and Debbie come sit you down, I need you to just say no. Like, I'm not, you can't do it. Maggie needs to be happy. Maggie deserves to have like a happy storyline. She's been through some things and, it's just, you're going to have to say no if they sit you down, if they have a meeting, you're busy.
If I ever get that call that they want to have a meeting, I'll take that advice.
So you say the scrubbing in girl said absolutely not.
Yes, and it's not allowed.
Okay.
We also read that Sarah Drew is going to be coming back, aka April Kepner. Has she filmed her scenes already, and are you in any of them?
I unfortunately am not in any yet.
Yes.
That means there's multiple.
Well, yeah, she's coming back.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know if she came back for like the funeral or something.
I did see her on set. So I was like, oh, it's a real thing. And I saw that before the news dropped. And I think I might be mistaken, but I think I heard like something about Grey's fans being part of the reason that had to drop.
Oh, wait, are you insinuating?
Yeah, I don't know if that's even true, but I saw it on Twitter and I was like,
we have not been to the set as of late, so no. It was not us.
Got it.
But okay. We have some people on the inside, Anthony.
No, we don't. No, like, we don't get any inside information.
No.
Oh, no. Y'all are playing it cool. I feel like you have plenty inside information.
I feel like we had insider with Giacomo and now we're screwed.
No, he did not tell us anything either. No, he didn't. Anthony's actually probably told us the most that there was going to be a big situation. Okay, moving on to, there was a moment where you, Jesse Williams, Dr. Avery, Jackson Avery, and Chris Carmack were in the backyard.
Who's Chris Carmack?
Link.
Link, okay, thank you.
And you have that moment of realizing that Jackson is Maggie's ex.
Yes.
Is there a storyline is there going to continue, or is that just a moment that we got to see of you being like, huh, okay.
You know what? I think that's, as of now, it's a little bit of a moment. I'm hoping for maybe a little bit more of a dive into that awkwardness and a little bit more like, cause it's kind of entertaining to think about, you know, Jackson and Winston kind of having like this face-off situation.
Yeah.
But I realized that, you know, they're two grown-ass men. And so there's a lot of maturity there and a lot of understanding there. And I kind of like chalked it up to that. So they're not going to really get into it. I think that Winston handles it pretty well. There might be a few more instances that we find in a couple episodes where that might come up. But that's all I'll say about that.
Wait, so how far in advance how many episodes have you shot since, like, so we just saw this past one. I don't, that was a season premiere. How many episodes have you shot this season so far?
Yeah, I've heard like other actors on the show say, oh, I get confused about where we are. And now I get it, because it is kind of confusing about when they come out and what we've done and what we can say. And
oh, so you do it like out of order. Some stuff is like, yeah,
especially this back half of this season's been out of order because of COVID. It's been throwing some like curveballs, everybody's scheduling and on all that. But we have shot up until 13, I want to say. So we're about six ahead of everybody else.
Oh, that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah. Well, it was a big break. I mean, we didn't have any new Grey's episodes for like,
it was like 3 months.
Was that it? It felt way longer than that. I'm so dramatic.
It was a long time though. So yeah, we've been shooting and doing stuff. So we're getting a lot done. Thank goodness.
Okay.
So the next episode, it looks like it literally starts off right where it ended last week. Like, we literally watch everyone kind of processing the news that DeLuca has died. And like, is there going to be like a funeral? Can you give any hints of what's going to happen with how everyone is? Are certain people going to go dark from this?
Ooh. I feel like there's a, especially in this next episode, but even through the full back half of this season, there's just a looming kind of cloud of this void that DeLuca left, because he's been on the show for so many years, and he's everybody loved him in the hospital and out of the hospital. And you'll know what I mean by that next week, but there's a lot of people that are affected by his passing. And I see y'all thinking.
Yeah.
And so we do show kind of a memorial situation for him. I don't know how much I can say about it, but it's very true to true life. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, a lot of people can't So we do handle it though with care.
I feel like this season, like, they have been making it so shocking. Like, I feel like this season of Grey's, there have been a lot of episodes where we just, our jaws have been on the floor, like, compared to last season, where it was like, no offense, last season was a little snoozy. And this one, I feel like, what?
She's just on one today. The hair.
I will be loyal to Grey's until the day of its last breath. So you don't have to worry about me. But I'm going to be honest and say, like, there's been some lulls. There's been some seasons where there's been a lot of lulls.
Absolutely. Well,
like, even way in the past.
I mean, there's so many seasons. It's like, how do you continue to make fresh and new storylines?
But this season has been doing it. And I'm honestly, like, I'm scared for what's to come a little bit.
Yeah, I understand.
Especially in the state Meredith is in.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Like, so am I. I really am. Every time I will get a script, I'm like, what on earth are they going to come up with? And it's always interesting, because mostly because of the fact that they can play with this beach world. And I think that that's new, very fresh take on Meredith, because she's not in the mix, but she's so present. But in this new realm.
And like, just bringing back Patrick Dempsey was just like, the gift that 2020 brought in that was just unparalleled.
Yeah, I stood up off my couch and I was like yelling in my TV.
Yeah, like, they did that. They went there.
I have such mixed feelings about the beach, because I'm like, Meredith, go get off that beach. And then and then there will be a new character that pops up there. And I'm like, we can hang out at the beach a little longer.
Right. If Denny's coming back on the beach, like, I'm down.
Oh my God. She's like a huge Denny Izzy fan. It's strange. Yeah. She really connected
he
with.
Was great. He was amazing.
I really connected with him on like a deep, deep level.
We always ask this, and I don't think I talked about this last time we talked to you, but we always have said, like, with Grey's Anatomy cast members that we've had on the podcast, like, if you got to choose the way you went out, by death, sorry. I hope that doesn't happen. If you got to pitch your idea, what would you do?
Oh man.
Like, shock factor, do anything. Anything's possible in Shondaland.
Yeah. Whoa, anything is possible. And that's the craziest thing about the show. Cause I was just thinking, like, about the bomb episode, and I was thinking about just the thing about DeLuca's, though, is it was kind of perfect in a way, because if an actor could pitch it, they would kind of probably want to go out as a hero.
Mm-hmm. Right, like George O'Malley.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Doing something that makes an impact positively on that little world that they're leaving behind, and makes people kind of remember you as that, in that way.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. But I also like the idea of being kind of like villainous and going out, like, getting everybody, like, turning everything on its head, doing something crazy that nobody saw coming. Yeah.
Anthony, if Winston turns, I have told you, I have such high hopes for Winston. So if you pitch a villainous exit, you're going to be getting some DMs. You're going to have to block me.
Becca really wants to slide into your DMs. This is what I'm gathering from this interview.
Every now and then.
You do?
Chat.
You guys chat without me?
Yeah, we're like friends.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, for sure.
Why am I not in that group chat? That should be a group chat.
Join in. What are you doing? Let's get it together.
I don't know how to add myself in. You guys have to do that.
We were, honestly, though, we were both like so smitten with you last time. I'm in a relationship, and Tanya at the time was definitely in a relationship.
I was not in a relationship when we had him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Single Sally over here.
Sorry about that. But anyways, everyone was like messaging us, and they're like, wow, the two of you were so gay. You're just so charming. Like, we just love you.
Yeah, we'd love to have you as like a reoccurring Grays person because we've never had one. So I'd love that to be you. We've had Grey's Anatomy, but not one that like comes consistently. Like, we've had a couple that have come twice.
She's asking you to come monthly, essentially, yeah, which feels like a lot for you.
Quarterly.
Quarterly. All right. You know what? I can't promise that because of scheduling, but I like the idea.
I like the idea too. But you know what? I'm not so sure. So I said Sarah Drew is coming back, April Kepner. Mm-hmm. And I loved April and Jackson. Mm-hmm. I was like their biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. But now I'm on the Joe and Jackson train.
Oh,
and I don't know how I feel about April coming back.
I'm still very much J-April.
You are. Mm-hmm. I think I'll swing that way once I see her again. But I'm into the Joe and Jackson situation.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I didn't see that coming.
Again, another one of those things this season where I was just like.
Exactly, and it's kind of polarizing though, because I've heard split thoughts on that.
Yeah, we love polarizing though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, the polarizing is
good. Some people love it. Some people hate it. It's
That makes it so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Winston like permanently in Seattle, or what's the story? Like, what's happening with that now?
I hope so. Okay. But I can say this, the topic of Winston moving to Seattle or going back to Boston comes up pretty quick. And that's something that, is a big kind of moment.
What is your specialty again?
Cardiothoracic.
That's Teddy. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Teddy, Maggie. Yeah, yeah.
You interesting.
Might have just
I think I just may have cracked something, because he would be coming in. If Maggie is cardiothoracic, then that would be
what?
I don't know. Feels intense with three. I mean, I don't know. Like, we've never seen together, three of one.
Work together, sleep together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't dip your pen in the company pool.
But yo, think about it though. That is Grey's that is Grey's Anatomy from season one. Like, work together, sleep together has been a thing.
Exactly.
Make it work, and it gets messy sometimes, but that's what I like watching.
If I was Maggie, I'd be like, you're not coming into this hospital, because all anyone does is sleep together and sleep with each other. So you're gonna go to Mercy, what is it?
Mercy West?
The other one. Seattle Grace Mercy West is what merged, and then there's another Seattle Presbyterian, something like that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Anyways, I'd be like, you're not working at the same one, because I know these people and they like to go in the rooms.
Yeah, but the Maggie would be going with Winston.
No, they don't need to work in the same hotel.
Same hotel. Yeah, it seems like I would just be like, I'd say the same thing you would. I'd be like, hey, if you come here, everybody just sleeps together or dies. So. That this happened.
Yeah, my friend said after DeLuca that episode, she goes, Mare of Death, right? Am I right? And I was like, wow. What? Like Mare of Death instead of Meredith.
Oh no. Oh my gosh, how morbid.
It's dark.
Yeah, she's so a dark friend, dark humor.
Oh.
We love you so much. Thank you for coming on. I know that
all we talk about is Grey's Anatomy. Can you tell us a little about your life?
Okay.
What you do for fun? Do you like hang? Like, what's your schedule? Do you wake up early? Are you a night owl? Like, what's the vibe?
Yeah, I'm a night owl through and through. It's kind of unfortunate sometimes because there's really no point in it, because there's nothing going on at night ever anymore. But I'm a night owl. I like to be up. That's when I thrive. That's when I like to write. That's when I like to read. That's when I like to do all the things that are like creative. For some reason, that's when I get rolling.
What do you write? Do you write like
screenplays, actually?
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
I'm working on some things. Yeah.
When you can go out, do you like to go out when we can do that?
I do.
What do you like to do when you go outside?
No, outside. Not outside. I've been out, like, to the bars.
Yeah, I like to go to bars. I like to just, I'm super chill. So I like to do anything that's like low maintenance and just chill. But I'll hit the clubs and do the wild nights now and then, I won't lie. But
Anthony.
Now and then thing.
Unexpected. You know? Unexpected.
Yeah, he's got balance. He's balanced.
Yes, life's about balance, you know. But yeah. I like to chill with my friends and just go out. I'm a normal person, obviously, you know.
Well, so, yeah. Last time we talked to you on the Galentine's Day event, you did say that you were single. Has that changed at all, or is it still the same?
It has not changed. It is the same.
Are you on dating apps?
I'm not on dating apps. I've never been on one.
I would, if... Yeah, I would stay off. You'll get crazies like me if I were on dating apps. If you get on dating apps.
Crazy like you. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would say, like, you know, have friends set you up.
How else do you meet people? Like, how else do you meet people, especially in a pandemic? Like,
I know. And that's kind of the thing. But I've been really, really kind of fortunate in a position where I haven't thought too much about it, because this whole new grays thing is massive. And it's kind of like taking up my whole vantage point. And I don't really, you know, I'm not really seeing a whole lot of, I guess, the extra stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm really trying to focus on this, and I'm really hopefully succeeding on focusing on it, because it's a big thing. And I've been literally working for something like this my entire life.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
You know what they say? When you're looking at the north, it sneaks up and it hits you from the south. And you're like, what the heck?
That's what they say. Have you heard that before? That's what they all say.
Have you never heard that before?
I've heard that, but I like it.
Yeah. My mentor used to tell me that. He's like, kid, when you're looking straight north and you're heading to your future, it's just going to sneak up right from the south and hit you upside the head. He doesn't sound like that, but.
Does he say kid like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he calls me kiddo.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
I'm ready for it to sneak up from the south, if that's what happens, you know. I'm just looking towards the north, like you said.
Yeah It's a good place to look. You just keep looking in that Grey's Anatomy north and just gonna
yeah. And just remember, like, if Krista and Debbie say, hey Anthony, we wanted to sit down and chat with you, you're busy, can't do it.
The lady is from Stubby. I'm busy and I have to sprint to my car.
Thank you.
We could have the scrubbers are passionate, and we could really start like a petition for you.
For what?
For whatever you need. Yeah.
Yeah. You just come to us. Let us know. We'll pass the word on. Yeah.
If they try to do anything shady, you come. We got your back over here.
I like that. I'm going to be thinking about different things. I want to petition.
Yeah. I mean, the Scrubbers won two People's Choice Awards against like Oprah.
Yeah.
And
we beat Oprah
Dak
for
Shepherd,
a People's Choice Award.
So.
What? I didn't know you'd beat Oprah.
Yeah.
Her podcast, not anything else.
Well, that's huge.
But our scrubber, yeah, that's what we're saying. The power of the scrubbers is real. So if you need any votes for anything, we definitely have that covered.
Yeah.
Got you. By the way, your podcast is amazing.
Thank you.
I love it. And if I didn't know that you beat Oprah's podcast, y'all should be wearing like crowns or tiaras or something.
You know what's funny? I've told Becca we should put it in our Instagram bios, like beat Oprah in 2018. Was it 2018? Yeah. Wait, no, 2018?
No, it's 2018.
2018, yeah. Beat Oprah's podcast in 2018 People's Choice Awards. Like that is we should wear that as a badge of honor.
I'm saying. Sashes, yeah. Something.
Yeah. And Amy Schumer. Oh, no. I mean, you can't. I mean, it's Oprah. Like, you can't.
I know. Like, Oprah was like for a while, because it went from like 12 nominees to 6 or something. And we beat her on the first round. Like, ours progressed onto the next round. And we were just like, we don't even care if we won. We beat Oprah.
Yeah, that's a victory in itself. Round one.
Yeah. So from now on, when we pitch ourselves, that'll be the opening line. Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah.
Of how epic it is.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm just so nervous for the rest of the season. Okay. But you should just come back before the finale.
I'm down.
I don't know when that is.
Yeah. When is it? How long do we have?
Mark?
It'd be like May-ish or something. They spread out pretty good.
March, April. That's in 2 months. That's great. You'll be itching to come back by then.
he'll be ready for this moment again. For now, he has to go and take some CBD or something to calm down. But
do you work like 7 days a week?
No, not always, not usually. It's cast with so many people, like there's like 16 of us or whatever. So it's pretty filled this week, for example, and next week, but I think maybe the week after that will be a little less, because I don't think, you're not in every episode and how
it goes. Right. Okay.
Well, we can't wait to watch the rest. I pray that this is not the finale, the series finale, like they're teasing, right. But I just am, my head is on a swivel at all times right now. So.
Me too. It's a lot of anxiety watching this season, which is good.
It's not going to let you down. The stuff we've done so far, I'm really excited about. So excited about.
I'll take that teaser.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Thank you for coming back. We love having you, and you're just the best. So
the best.
Thank you both for having me back.
Thank you. All right. Talk to you later. Bye, don't forget Anthony. Us.
I will. Group chat coming soon.
Oh yeah.
Did you blow a kiss?
Yeah, everybody was like, Tanya, you only blew Anthony a kiss there on the gap. I was like, oh, did I really? Oops.
Classic.
Okay, all right, have a good
bye,
one.
Anthony.
Bye.
See you later. Thank you.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Tanya loved that interview so much that her hair is back in Baby Yoda style.
That's right.
I'm
also pissed that you guys have a group chat without me.
We don't. It's not a group chat. It's just me and him. He and I.
That's so rude.
We just talk. Also, me with Alex Landy, who plays... I'm totally blanking. Jake Borelli's...
Nico.
Nico.
What?
Yeah,
you
I'm just like
chit-chat
friends.
With all these yeah. people?
We talked about McDonald's, McFlurries and stuff.
I'm like the DM queen.
To them?
No, I'm slacking. I gotta get back on my game.
But what a nice guy. I love that guy.
I know.
Guy.
I do too. I love that guy.
He's like our friend. He feels like our friend now.
That's why I said, I was like, you should come quarterly. And that feels doable. And not over, like, that feels not like overly
like we're
aggressive.
Over asking, yeah. He's just, I just like him because he kind of just like laughs along with us, but doesn't make us feel as crazy as we are, you know? Like he's probably thinking it, but he doesn't make us feel
I
that
think
way.
He thinks that we're like actually more legit than we are.
Well, the Oprah thing really, that you, was a nice yeah, touch. Yeah, he really, you. There was an, I saw a different level of respect in his eyes.
Yeah.
When we mentioned that we beat Oprah.
I know.
Do you think we'd beat Oprah though now after her interview with Harry and Meghan?
Yes, the scrubbers, are you kidding? They go even harder now.
Actually, probably right. Yeah, he's just the best. And Grey's Anatomy, I'm with you. It's the good feeling because this is how it used to feel where you were like a little bit on edge for Thursdays because you're like...
Yeah, and it's like almost you have to watch it live because mm-hmm. I didn't watch it Thursday night and then everybody was like sending me the spoiler. I was like,
hell. Yeah, it was spoiled for me too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was still traumatic. Like, definitely, like, I didn't know how it happened or anything like that, but...
But also, I just felt sucked into that episode. Like, it was mm-hmm. one of those episodes where it was almost over. You're like, wow, I've not once checked my watch or thought about other things.
Yeah, you got lost in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. I mean, I don't know if you watch both Station 19. I mean, you kind of had to watch Station 19 before. You didn't?
No, and I had no idea. I was like, how did he get stabbed? And so I actually looked that up online. Oh, it's a Station 19 thing, which I don't like. Not that I don't like Station 19. I don't like being blackmailed into watching other shows.
I'm the same way. It pisses me off.
See, I...
Don't try and play me, okay? Because I can play you right back.
See, listen, I actually respect it from just like... getting viewers, like it's pretty genius, and they made it enough about Grey's Anatomy that I didn't feel like I was like, what am I watching?
No, it's not genius. It's like, okay, let's say this. Let's say some, let's just put it into like, okay. So our scrubbing in listeners, we love our scrubbers, right? Like we love them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we're not trying to dupe you guys, right? Like as we are the Grey's Anatomy watchers, that's like some other podcast coming in here and us being like, oh, okay, I went on a date last night. I'm not going to tell you about it here on my podcast. We're going to go talk about it on whatever podcast because you have to go to listen to that one. That's so rude and disrespectful to our scrubbing in listeners.
We could like, do that. We could say, hey, we'll set it up. You have to listen to On Air with Ryan Seacrest to find out what really happened to Tanya. We could do that.
We don't do that. No, we don't do that because we respect our listeners.
Yeah, but it would be it's still a great way to get people to tune in.
You know,
I'm just saying
and I don't like it. It's not my character and I don't like it.
I didn't like it on Private Practice. I don't like it on Station 19. And by the way, at least give me a previously on Station 19 so I can know that the guy got stabbed. Last I saw, he was in a parking lot.
Running or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved Station 19, I think is really good and it's been growing on me. When I watch it, I'm like, oh, I should go back and like get caught up on this. So I didn't hate it. And I loved Private Practice too. So y'all are haters.
No, we're just not skeezies.
Oh, you're so lame. That would be like you being... That's like you on the Grammys being like, tune in for... Make sure... We're going to have more, so tune into the night show or you'll miss out.
It's not the same thing.
It's actually not that at all.
Anyways, I'm sorry that y'all find it skeezy. I thought, as from a marketing perspective, it's pretty smart.
Well, I'm not saying it's not smart. I'm just saying it causes a rebellious streak in me.
Yeah, it's not cool to your fans, and I don't like that.
Well, don't worry, Scrubbers, we're not going to do that to y'all. We'll keep anything important that's happening will be on. It'll be exclusive Scrubbing In episode info.
I would never do that to the Scrubbers.
Like, if we were both just like, we're talking about our relationships, but you have to tune in.
Like, if our boss came to us and said, hey, like, we have a new podcast and we really want you guys to help out and like do this, like something shady, I'd be like, sorry, no, you aren't doing that here.
The only thing we do, if I may say do, but all podcasts do this, and I find it annoying, we do it, others do it, is putting those little ads for other shows in the feed.
That's fine.
It's kind of similar, though, but yes.
I mean, well, no, because that would be like a commercial promoting Station 19.
Like, yeah, it's like a commercial break.
Yeah, but it's downloaded right to your phone.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I like that. So if I see that on the Scrubbing In feed, I'm going to have some words. I think I did, actually.
I think our promo that we just got recently is going to be in other shows' feeds.
Oh, great. So
that's great. We love the cross promotion.
Love to see
Big
it.
Big fan
love
of cross promotion. I know we have some emails to get to. So I think that's what we should do.
All right. This email is to Becca and Tanya, and it's from JP.
Shocker.
Unexpected.
Not to Station 19?
No. JP says, my boyfriend is still friends with his ex, with whom he'd been with for 10 years, basically throughout all of his 20s. They broke up in the fall of 2020. She initiated the breakup, and while my boyfriend wanted to work on the relationship, they eventually came to the realization that things weren't going to work out and ended things on good terms. Their lives continue to be intertwined. Her mom still randomly calls him to chat. The two families grew very close during their relationship. I know things ended on good terms, and everybody's happy where they are, but I can't help but feel intimidated and slightly annoyed that he's still so close with his ex. He's even told me that she's like family and that he loves her and he always will. While I know and trust that they're romantically over each other, his ex actually moved on first, I can't help but feel discouraged because I feel like I'm always going to be compared to his ex by his family and friends. We've been dating 3 months and things are going well otherwise. I just need help readjusting my perspective on this matter because I want to be secure and okay with them being friends. How do I go about this?
Got any words?
I would say since you've only been dating for 3 months, I would just keep going. Mark's giving me a head nod, so I'm hoping he thinks that what I'm saying is going to be profound and great, but it's probably
no
not.
No promises for that.
I would say it's only been 3 months, so I would just say keep going in the dating and see how you feel. If it gets worse and not better, then maybe you dip out. But I think that this is something that as you grow in your relationship with him and your relationship grows stronger, that's just going to die down. That's what I think.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. However, if I was dating someone who I knew was broken up with and he was not wanting the relationship to end and then was still in contact with her and her family, I would feel very insecure. And I think it would almost make me not be able to focus on the relationship in a healthy way. I would just be upfront and honest with them and just say, hey, I know that y'all had a good relationship and that it ended on good terms and that your families are close and your lives are intertwined, but I feel like I'm comparing myself. And I think knowing that you didn't necessarily want to get out of that relationship, like it wasn't his choice, I think just being upfront and honest and saying, like, out of respect to our relationship, can there just be less communication on your end? Like, he can't help it it's awkward for him to tell the ex-girlfriend's mom, like, hey, can you stop calling me? But I think, like Tanya said, as the relationship goes on, it'll eventually die down. Because I would think maybe her new boyfriend would be like, why is your mom calling your ex? And probably maybe feeling the same way if he knows about the relationship. So
that's a good point.
I would just have a conversation with him and be honest that, you know, you're a little intimidated by their relationship and you don't want it to affect your relationship. And I think the least he can do is limit their interaction where he can.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. I don't have high hopes for this, and I'm sorry, JP, that I don't. just in the general sense that you're the first relationship after a decade-long relationship, I feel like the odds of that relationship succeeding, knowing nothing else, are low. It's a rebound. It's a rebound situation, and that's
that
okay.
Is devastating advice and information from Mark's corner.
But I side with Tanya in the sense that take it day by day. Are you happy today? Is he giving you what you need and what you want today? And if he is, then let's stick her with it till tomorrow. But and Becca's right too. Be open about your feelings, because I think there's a lot of. I think you're kind of walking in quicksand here.
Okay, JP, don't listen to negative Nancy over there.
No, but I do think that there are, like, I think that, JP, I think you'll be surprised if you do speak up, because I was in this situation. I mean, it's a little bit different because, you know, it's just a little bit different, but because, you know, the relationship ended because the person I was dating wanted it to be over. Do you know what I mean? Like, the situation wasn't technically the same, but I had to kind of speak up and say that there needed to be boundaries there with that relationship. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had to speak up and say, I need there to be boundaries. I am in a new relationship with you, blah, blah, blah. And he was really respectful and receptive and made those changes and set those boundaries and, like, really listened to me. And I felt really heard. And so I think that's what I was saying. I think as time goes on, you will start to see a change, because I did feel like that at some point, like early on. And then I started to see I spoke up, mm-hmm. the boundaries were set, and I felt really stable. So I think it will either work itself out or it won't.
Similar with my, you know, when Robert and I ended, we were friends before we started dating. And so when we broke up, it was a very, like, healthy, really. I mean, breakup in the sense that, like, nothing bad, no one did anything. It was just like, this isn't right. But I still wanted that friendship with him. But 95P was just like, hey, that, you know, makes me kind of uncomfortable if you're, like, talking all the time. And I was like, totally. I totally understand that. And then Robert started dating someone else too. And it was kind of just like being able to respect each other's relationships and our own, I think, yeah. was just, you know, but I needed to hear it to realize that I needed to know that 95P was uncomfortable for me to have that realization of, like, oh, I see where that would be awkward and for you.
Yeah.
A lot of options here, JP.
Next up, from Kennedy. That's a great name as well, by the way. Kennedy says, I'm 21 years old, going into my senior year of college. My best friend since first grade and I have always been the single friends of our group. We also happen to be the only virgins, not for religious reasons as well. Recently, my best friend has met someone and began becoming romantic with them. I'm reaching out because I'm struggling with trying to be a supportive friend. Anytime we talk, it is hard to listen to all the details of her having exactly what I want. I still have hope that love will find me, and even just started calling in the one, and I'm loving it. But am I being a bad friend by not completely being happy for my friend and even going as far as to distance myself? How do I be a supportive friend while also keeping my feelings and mental health a priority?
I got sidetracked after she said calling in the one. What the friend's trying to do was?
She's just saying, how can she? You just, like, felt like a ego boost contributed to helping her.
Yeah.
She basically said, am I being a bad friend by not being completely happy? Or even if I need to distance myself, how do I be supportive while also keeping my feelings and mental health a priority?
Still single.
Yeah, she wants what her friend's experiencing, and they've always been the single ones in their friend group. So now she feels like she's the only one in the friend group who doesn't have that.
Let me tell you something, girl. There's one relationship that you're going to have your whole life, and that is with yourself. You can't compare. People are going to go in relationships. People are going to come out of relationships. Your friends are going to get married. Your friends are going to go through divorce. Yeah. Sometimes you'll be single. Sometimes you'll be in a relationship. Sometimes you'll need to cry on their shoulders. Sometimes they'll need to cry on yours. That's how your life is going to be from now until you're 100. So you can't, I feel like when you're, especially in college, like, you always have that buddy system of, like, we're the single ones, or, like, we know when, I don't know. That's how I always was in our sorority. Like, I always had one person that, like, did something with me. And when you graduate, honestly, I feel like when you graduate from college, all that's over. You're a one man show. So it's like, you can't, like, you just got to do you.
Yeah.
Did that make sense?
Well, yes. I'm not sure it's good advice for the current situation.
But excellent, great life advice.
Yeah, just general advice. It's very good.
You're great.
Now, Kennedy, I don't know if it helps her at all.
Yeah, great, great advice for the listeners, Tanya. But yeah, for Kennedy, I think that if you needing to be a good friend is distancing yourself to figure out how to love yourself even in a single phase of life, and like having, like Tanya said, having that relationship, if you need to distance yourself and focus on, you know, doing Calling in the One and finding things that you love to do, like either by yourself or with your other friends, then do that. But I also think that, like Tanya said, there's always things, whether it's your friends being in relationships or when it's work stuff or people doing things that you wish you were doing with your life, there's always those moments of like wanting what we don't have. And then when you have it, you want what someone else has, even if it's in a totally different category. So your friendship is more important than you, like your friendship, I guess I'm assuming, because you wrote in to ask advice for it, is more important than you needing to have someone too. Like, so you can be supportive while still wanting that for yourself, but don't dwell on it so much, because what it's really going to, it's not going to affect her as much as it's going to affect you. Like, because you're going to be losing your friendship and you're going to be feeling like a little bit of resentment and bitterness, which is, what's the quote? Bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die.
Good one, Becca.
Thank you. One.
But it's true. I mean, I think it's more so like kind of figuring out, is it, does it, do you feel left? Like, do you feel alone? Do you feel jealous? Do you like the guy that she's dating or whoever she's dating? Like, just kind of find things, like where that stems from, if it's just because you feel like you're the only one. Cause listen, I'm in a very healthy, happy relationship, and I still have moments where I'm like, I look at photos where I was single and I was like, that was the best. Like, I had the best time doing that. You know, I think we all can agree with that.
Grass is always greener.
The grass is always greener no matter what's happening in your life. So value your friendship, be supportive, and also find other people who maybe are in the same phase of life as you.
Yeah.
There's always room for new friends.
I relate to this. When my friend Kurt and I moved to Los Angeles, you know, we wanted to become, you know, famous actors and performers and all this stuff and TV stars. And so we both started going out on auditions and getting agents and stuff like that. And that was the feeling. We were best friends who moved out here together. But I got a commercial agent before he did. And I could see it in his eyes. He was not happy for me. And then he got like a theatrical agent to send you out on TV auditions before I did. And I was not happy for him. You know, it's a competition after a certain point. So I think you just got to fake it to some degree. But also what Becca was saying, you can find nuggets based in reality. You could say to her, oh my God, I am so jealous right now. Because that's true and that's real. And I think she's going to like hearing that, honestly, because who wouldn't? So I think you just kind of got to get through this. And it's going to work out fine. Everything is going to be okay. And 5-10 years from now, you'll laugh about this.
For sure.
Totally. And also, like, cut out time for y'all to have your friendship time. Like, just because she's in a relationship, when y'all are just you, it's not, she's your friend first, especially when you're in that time together. So carve out time where it's just you, and so that you don't feel like a third wheel or whatever that makes you feel.
Good advice.
It's good.
Listen, we beat Oprah for a reason.
That's right.
Advice givers.
Yeah, can't get this kind of advice over there.
No. Not these interview skills either.
No. Sharp as a tack over here. Oh, tacks are sharp, actually.
That's true.
Yeah. That's right. I know what I said.
That's why it's an expression.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're losing Tanya quickly, so. All I know is Patrick Dempsey is back on our screens this week, and that has me living for Thursday. So until next week, have a wonderful week. I said week so many times.
Week. I'm going to go sleep.
Yes, I'm going to put you. We were supposed to do our boudoir. Shoot today, but Tanya has had some interferences.
Yeah, Niagara Falls coming out of...
Okay, she's on her period. That's all. Wow. We didn't need to go. Yeah, wow.
So disappointing.
I know. I mean, there's nothing sexy about that. Like, I was just like, I thought, like, you know what's actually pretty incredible is that I spent, I don't even know how long I was out of my apartment yesterday. I left at 10 a.m. and I came back at like 11 p.m. So over 12 hours. And all I did was have one menstrual cup in there all day.
Promo for the flex. Flex cup.
They're not even a sponsor anymore, but damn. And
your cup runneth over, right?
Barely. Like, it was like ready. It was ready to come out when I got home. Oh my God. But I was just so, I'm like, this is what menstrual cups are made of. Like game day, you know?
Exactly. Yeah,
game day the right way.
Game day the right way.
All right. Well, so we're not doing that. So that will be postponed to another day, but it'll be fine. We want it to be when you're feeling your best.
I know. And I'm just not feeling my best.
Okay.
I'm just not.
Someone asked me in the Facebook group the other day if that was going to happen today. And I almost texted you, Tanya, but I felt like that could be like an HR problem. Like, I'm like, I'll let her bring that up to me. Okay. So there's your answer.
I want to do it because I got a spray tan. So I'm like tan. I just like, I'm bloated and bleeding.
Oh my God.
It's true.
So there's your title for the podcast. Yeah,
thank you. Oh, just in under the wire too.
All right. Perfect. Have a great week. We love you all. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need two or three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.